Appreciate all He does for us. Amen. We're so unworthy. We're so undeserving. But He loves us anyway. Amen. Have your Bibles turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17. All right. Luke chapter 17. When you found your place, if you would please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Luke 17, starting in verse number 11. And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Was there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And He said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I'll ask Brother Fred, it's good to have him and Sister Maureen back from their vacation. I've heard they got some interesting stories to tell on getting there. And so we're glad they're back. Brother Fred, if you'd pray for us. Amen. You may be seated. Now we can tell in the Bible, in the New Testament, when we see the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, it didn't matter where He go, wherever He went, He seemed to just, exercise His compassion on people and His power. Amen. And here we see that again. He was God manifested in the flesh. And He laid down His life, thank God for us, on Calvary. Amen. And so we see many stories like this in the Bible, as I said. And we're going to look at a few things about the miracle that was performed here. Number one, I want you to see the pitiful sight. It tells us that as He entered, verse 12, into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. So here we see 10 men. They were misery. Amen? Misery everywhere. Think about this. They had a common bond. Every single one of those 10 men had a problem. Leprosy. Leprosy was incurable. Amen? It was a disease that was incurable. And here they are. All 10 of them have the same problem. And they come here and they come to Jesus. What a sad sight it is. We know that the Bible, leprosy is a picture or a type of sin. Amen? And just like them, you know what? We have a sin problem. All of us are born sinners. And here they are. They're lepers. When we look at that, we see a few things. Number one, like sin, it brings uncleanness. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 13 for just a second. And I want you to notice in Leviticus chapter 13, verse number 45 says this, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean." Now, the Bible tells us that these lepers were unclean, and when they walked about, they had to have their lips covered. And the Bible tells us as someone would be walking by, they would yell, "Unclean, unclean." They were letting them know their condition because leprosy was contagious. If a leper got around you and you hung around them, you'd become a leper. And so it was important for them, so they would yell and let everybody know, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." And you know what? As sinners, born sinners, we have to come to a realization of the truth that we're unclean. We're unclean. Amen? It takes that to, you know, for us to confess that. Amen? To confess the truth. And here they were confessing the truth that they had leprosy and they were unclean. And notice also, if we go back to Leviticus chapter 13 again, the next verse, 46, says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be." So when it talks about being without the camp, it was saying he couldn't be with the rest of them. He had to be outside the camp. Amen? And like sin, it leads to separation. He was separated from everybody else. All those lepers, they were separated from everybody else. Amen? Our sin separated us from God. It alienated us from God. Amen? We were born sinners. God's a holy God. He can't excuse sin. He doesn't look upon it and excuse it. There had to be a price paid, and Jesus Christ paid that price. Amen? Thank God that He did that. But you know what? We were alienated. We were put afar off from Him. But thank God we can be brought nigh by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Jesus' precious blood that was shed brings us nigh to God. And so here we see that not only that, like sin, it is humanly incurable. They didn't have a cure for leprosy. They didn't sit here, the doctors, and figure out, you know, we can cure this stuff. The only one that could do it was God. He's the only one that could cure them. And you know, it's just like our sin. I can't cure myself of my sin. None of you can cure yourselves from sin. No other people can cure us from sin. The only one that could cure us from sin is God. Amen? God's the only way. Amen? It's humanly impossible. But thank God, God took flesh, human flesh. Amen? He was all God. He was all man. Jesus Christ came to this earth. And He lived a perfect, sinless life. He would never have to say He was unclean because He never sinned. Amen? He lived a perfect, sinless life and died on that cross and shed His precious blood so that we may live. Amen? He was the cure. He's the only cure for our sin. So we see that here is the pitiful condition of these 10 men. They were hopeless. No man could cure them. The only one that could is Jesus. But I want you to notice the earnest prayer they gave in verse number 13. It says, "They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, a lot of times when people talk to us, we can tell whether they're genuine or not. This prayer was not something, unfortunately, happens a lot of times. People say a prayer and think they've been saved, when they really, it didn't come from the heart. This came from the heart. Have mercy on us. Amen? They knew they were in need. Amen? And they called, what did they call Jesus? Master. Amen? They were serious. They knew who He was and who they were. And you know what? There had to come a day in my life, there had to come a day in your life where you realized who He was and is and who you are. And you had to realize He's Master. He's Lord. Amen? You had to trust Him as your Savior. So here we see that earnest prayer that's made is, listen, and I'm glad they said this. Notice what they said. Have mercy. Amen? Have mercy on us. Amen? He's a merciful God. Thank goodness for that. Thank God He's a merciful God. Amen? We don't deserve His mercy. Amen? But He's merciful anyway. So here we see that He's a merciful God. He doesn't give us what we deserve. If we got what we would deserve, we'd all be in hell right now. That's what we deserve. But thank God He loves us. Amen? Thank God He came and died for our sins. And so we don't have to worry about that if we put our faith and trust in Him. He's a merciful God. Now I want you to notice this simple remedy. Notice it says, "And when He saw them," verse 14, "He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest." That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, a lot of times we get instructions. If you're like me, I'm terrible at building anything. And sometimes I remember when my kids, Brother Mike, when they got something and I had to put it together. Oh, man. First of all, what happened to the instructions? When I was a kid, it seemed like the lines were this big. Now it's this little fine print, and I can't even read with my glasses. And I'm like, what's this? And then you got this language here and this language. I just need one language. They should just have the things here. English, Spanish, French, German, whatever. Just have them list out. Because the more they do that, then they condense everything. You're trying to read it. But then they have all these diagrams where this goes this. And I'm like thinking, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this. One time we got kind of like a bookcase shelf or thing, and I'm trying to put that thing together, and I thought I'd never get the thing together. Finally I did, but it took a long time. It was complicated. It was hard to understand sometimes what it was trying to tell you to do on some of it. But you know what? When something is easy, listen, they were told, just go to the priest, show yourselves. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Listen, the Bible tells us that we're born sinners. And we need to be saved. And then it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? God doesn't tell me to go swim in the ocean and come out here and climb some building and do this and do that. It's something pretty simple, something pretty basic. Even a child can understand. Amen? Simple. Well, here's their remedy. It's simple. Go show thyself unto the priest. I want you to notice what it says next. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Did you notice that part? It came to pass when? As they went. In other words, if they stood there, they were still lepers. Jesus told them, go to the priest. The priests were the ones that declared they were unclean. And he's saying, go show yourselves in the priest. And so what did it take for them to go? Faith. Amen? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen? They had to believe what Jesus was telling them. Go show yourself. In other words, Jesus is saying, go show yourselves to the priest. When you go, you will be cleansed. You will be clean. And they're looking and they're like, I'm a leper. But they had to have faith to believe, to say, you know what? And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, they had to exercise that faith. Amen? They had to have the faith to believe Jesus at His Word. And the Bible tells us that basically we are saved by grace through faith. Amen? We have to have faith to believe Him. Believe Him at His Word, that if we shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that you'll believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Do you believe it? Listen, we didn't see it. We believe it. That's faith. Amen? He says, thou shalt be saved. No doubt. I've told people as I'm trying to lead them to the Lord, I tell people, what does that say? Thou may be saved. Thou possibly could be saved. It says, thou shalt be saved. In other words, God says it's a guarantee. Put it down, bank on it. If you confess with your mouth that He's Lord, amen, and that God raised Him from the dead, in other words, He died for our sins, and God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice, and on the third day He rose from the dead. If you believe that, you'll be saved. Amen? Simple. Simple to understand and comprehend. Amen? And all they had to do was by faith go to the priest. And so here we see that they are going there. Amen? They go to the priest. What did they need? faith in the Word and obedience to the will of Christ. They did that and they were healed. They were cleansed. Amen? What would have happened if they stood there and waited? Well, you know what? Once He heals me, then I'll go. There's no faith. He's saying, have the faith to believe, and you just go, and when you get there, you'll be cleansed. Amen? They had to have the faith. But notice this. There's a difference in these 10. Verse 15 says this, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. In other words, soon as they started going, they were healed. Amen? It wasn't when they got to the priest they were healed, because the Bible says, as he saw he was healed, and the Bible says they went, meaning they were starting their way, Jesus wanted to see, do you believe me? Do you trust me? And soon as they did, the Bible says that they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. One of them realized, hey, I'm cleansed. And what does he do? The first thing he wants to do is glorify God. He's praising God for healing him, for cleansing him. I don't have much confidence in someone that comes to an altar, says they got saved, they're not thankful, they're not grateful. It's almost as if they're like saying, you know what, now I don't have to go to hell. But if you're truly born again, if you get something as big as God in you, how can you hold it in? You got to let it out. You got to tell people. Amen? Here he is. He's glorifying God for what God had done for him. He was thankful. Amen? He was thankful. He was praising Him. Amen? Not only was he thankful, he was humble. Notice this. It says, with a loud voice glorifying God, verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. A lot of times Jesus used Samaritans because the Jews hated them. Samaritans were a mix between the Jews and a Gentile. And the Jews despised them. They despised them more than Gentiles. And he always seemed to use the one as a Samaritan that did the right thing. And notice what he says here. He says this one fell down on his face at his feet. Is that not humility? Now, I've known some people, I mean, they were far from humble. And then when God saved them, boy, you saw that humility, didn't you? Because they realized who they were. Prior to me being saved, I thought I was pretty good. Prior to you being saved, I bet you thought you were pretty good. No matter what we did, we thought, well, we're pretty good. We try to help people. We're pretty good. But when you realize how awful you are, how terrible you are, how wicked and sinful you are, and that God, the creator of this universe, loved you so much that He saved you, doesn't that humble you a bit? Doesn't that make you realize who you are and who He is? That should humble you. Amen? There should be a humility about you. So he's thankful and humble. We see this one. And you know what? Those are characteristics of a person that's saved by the grace of God. Someone that is humble. Someone that is thankful. When's the last time you thanked God for your salvation? Now, I'm not going to do this, but I wonder if I ask people in here, if you thanked Him today for saving you, raise your hand. I wonder how many hands I would see go up. If you thanked Him at least one time this month for your salvation, would you be able to raise your hand? This one was thankful. Amen? But notice this next part here. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? In other words, he's saying 10 of you were cleansed. Now, this is a picture of salvation. I want you to understand this. It's not that they weren't... they were unthankful. That's sad, isn't it? But you know what? How does a person that's saved, how do we glorify God? How do we glorify Him? By telling others what He did for us. Amen? By showing that we're changed. Listen, no matter how hard I try, Armando, I can't change myself. God can change me. Amen? I can do things, but you know what? It takes God to change me that people can sit up and take notice. Am I perfect? Far from it. Are you perfect? Far from it. But there should be a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There should be a change in you. Those things that you didn't want to give up when someone first told you about God. Well, if I become a Christian, I can't do this anymore. And I can't do that anymore. But when He saved you, what happened? Your desire for those things wasn't like it used to be. You still might have had some desire. Your flesh has that desire. But all of a sudden you have the Holy Spirit saying, that ain't of God. You don't do that. Amen? So there's a change there. But here we see these 9. I mean, think about that. What did these 9 not do? What did these 9 not do that the one did? Acknowledged Him publicly. By him praising God out there, yelling basically to him and falling at his feet, he was making a public confession of you know, that God had cleansed him. Jesus had cleansed him. Right? He didn't get cleansed and just kind of like the other 9 and just not say anything. He let everybody know about it. You saved? You born again? Are you telling others about it? Are you telling people about it, that you're saved? Are you telling people you're born again? Do people see a difference in your life? Listen, if there's no change in you and you're wondering, well, I keep inviting these people from work to church. I don't understand why they're not here. Well, I do. If they don't see a change in you, they're going to think, he's just a hypocrite. He's just like me. He's doing the same stuff I do. He doesn't seem to care. I know from experience, there'll be people, and you're sitting there saying, well, they're laughing at me, they're making fun of me, they're mocking me and everything. Yeah, but they're watching. I was one of those people. I made fun of Christians when I was lost. I guarantee if I went through here, there'd be a lot of you that would have to raise your hand and say, you know what? When I was lost, I made fun of Christians. But didn't you watch them? Didn't you want to see if what they had was real? I've told you this in my testimony before. I knew there was something missing. I just didn't know what it was. There was something that no matter what I did, I wasn't satisfied. There was nothing that was satisfying me. And I knew something was missing in my life, but I didn't know what it was. It was Jesus. And once He came into my life, He satisfied me. Amen? But there's people, listen, they're watching. They might make fun of you. They might laugh at you. They might cuss you out. They might do all kinds of things. But deep down, they're thinking, boy, if what they have is real, that's what I want. But they're blinded by Satan. And God says for us, we're to glorify Him. When we glorify Him, amen, He gets honor, He gets glory. And us living a good life, trying to live the Christian life, amen, brings honor and glory to Him. But here these 9 seem to get salvation merely for their comfort and their happiness. Well, I don't have to go to hell now. I'm happy. but are you serving Him? The Bible says we're bought with a price, therefore we're to glorify Him. Amen? With our body. This body doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to Him. And so I should use this body to honor and glorify Him. You should use your body to honor and glorify Him. Amen? That's what we should do. That's what we should. He was publicly letting everybody know, amen, he was glorifying God. He was thanking God for saving him. And when you look at churches all around this country, they say that probably 10% of the people at church do 90% of the things that need to be done at the church. Where are the other nine? Are they just happy that they're saved and they're going to heaven? What category do you fall in? Are you the one that's thankful, that's glorifying God? Are you the nine that's saying, thank God I don't have to go to hell, and moving on? Listen, Jesus showed this miracle, and yet only one come back to thank Him. Are you thanking Him? We should thank Him every day. Every day we wake up, we should say, thank You, Lord, for another day that I get to serve You. Amen? Listen, many other days that you've lived as a Christian, you probably woke up the next day saying, man, I failed Him miserably yesterday. But you know what? He gave you another chance today. He gave you another chance to serve Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. And if you wake up tomorrow, He's giving you another day to serve Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. What are you doing with those days? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time and Your Word. And Lord, I'm just thankful, Lord, for You saving me. I'm thankful, Lord, that You have blessed me immensely beyond measure. Lord, I'm so unworthy. Lord, I thank You for Your marvelous grace, Your marvelous mercy that You bestow upon me each and every day. Lord, forgive me for those times that I haven't been as thankful as I ought to be. I haven't been glorifying You as I ought to have. But Lord, I thank You for giving me another opportunity each and every day to live for You and serve You. First and foremost, heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to ask You this question. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you been cleansed? Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Has there been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner and you repented of your sins and you trusted Christ as your Savior? I wonder with an uplift hand if there would be anyone here to say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out by name. I just want to pray for you. Anyone honest enough to say, I'm not saved? I'm not sure I'm saved. I hope that's true. Child of God, let me ask you this. Which one are you? Are you the one? Or are you one of the nine? I wonder with an uplift hand if there would be people here to say, you know what? The Lord convicted my heart. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart that I have been glorifying Him as I should. Pray for me. Anyone? I need to praise Him more. I need to glorify Him more. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. I need to praise Him. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going on. Well, let's do it. Let's come to Him and say, God, with Your help, Lord, I'm going to glorify You as never before. Lord, forgive me for those missed opportunities I had to uplift and glorify Your name. Because my pride got in the way. My flesh got in the way. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, you come.